And you just lay in bed wide awake. During the day, you just fall asleep. So we're 12 and a half hours from India right now. And in coming, you have to be in the air more than 24 hours. So you're just in airports and flying everywhere. Anyway, so don't think I'm sick. I'm not sick. I'm totally groggy. All right, but I'm full of the Word of God. All right, John. In the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John, in the 19th verse, Jesus said to his disciples, with the Jewish religious leaders listening, or he spoke to the Jewish leaders with his disciples listening, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself." Now, how many here are sons of God?
Yes.
All right. So we know he's referring to himself. But he's also speaking about us. So, how many know you can do nothing?
Amen.
Of himself. Remember he said in John the 15th chapter, apart from me, you can do nothing. So, then in another place he said, the works that I do, I don't do. The Father that dwells in me doeth the works. So this is a clue to you that you were never intended to do the works of God apart from Him. You are expected to do the works of God, but not on your own. You can't do them. Even if you thought you could, you would make God very angry, because He's already decided that issue. And Jesus is the only righteousness that He'll accept. So, when you come before Him, you don't want to mention that you're working on it. And that you have a few good things. Because Jesus paid the full price, and the Father's already pronounced judgment over that and said, "I'll accept it." So now, to mention that you've done a few more things, which, by the way, you didn't do, but just to mention that or bring that up would be an affront to God. What I'm telling you is that you misunderstand God if you think He wants you to obey. He never, ever, ever wanted you to work, to be burdened. So, God's intention from the beginning of the world, not known to this world, not revealed, a secret, was that He didn't show His heart right away. Any good parent does the same. When you're teaching a child to make his bed or sit up at the table, you're not friendly. The child is hearing the word no. And when they hear that word no, something goes off in them. Sin. Flesh. And they just don't want to be told that you're limited or you're not allowed to do whatever you want to do. No child ever in the history of the world has ever wanted to hear the parents say, "You can't do that." Why? They'll always ask that. Why? Why do I have to go to bed now? My sister doesn't. They always have all these questions. Little kids are just full of questions. Well, I don't. All the other girls got a red dress. Why can't I have one? Well, we can't afford it. Well, that's not fair. That's the way kids are. So all kids hate the word no. Can I get the car tonight? No. Why? You're only 11. Kids don't want to hear the word no, but no is a wonderful word, and it's exactly what a parent is all about, and anyone who's in government learns to say no. It's what every law is all about. It's about, you know, not love your neighbor. It's about don't speak. It's a no. it's not about how fast you should go, it's how fast you must not go. You know, every law is thou shalt not. It isn't love your neighbor. That's God's heart. It's don't injure your neighbor. There's a difference. Not, I didn't injure anybody hardly on the way here today. But that doesn't mean I loved people on the way here today. So there's a big difference. But I could say, well, God, I didn't run over anybody. So I guess I kept the law. If it's just a negative, because that's what the law says, is don't injure anyone. That's what it is. Don't injure your sister. Don't injure your brother. Don't talk back to me. Those are all don'ts. And that's what little children hate. So God, when He presents Himself, number two, God is number one. When He presents Himself, He always starts with a no. Now the truth is much deeper than that. And it turns out later that He started out with a yes. You just didn't know that. Because by the time you started getting a hold of it, all you could remember is the no. But actually, the first year and a half of a child's life, there's no discipline. None. It's just sheer love, care, nourishment, indulgence. Child can get away with anything. He's not expected to make his bed. How many know that little children don't have to make their beds? You know, now, sweetheart, I've been feeding you for a month. Time you did something. You know, you don't do that with little kids. Yeah, and they cry. They, you know, do all kinds of things. And you can try to, you know, restrain them. It doesn't work. Any mother knows in the middle of the night, hush in there. You know, it won't work. You know, we'll discuss that in the morning. You can't do that to a, you know, 13-month-old or something. So little kids learn slowly, and that's all they can remember the older they get, is everything's no. It seems like, you know, everything a mother ever says is stop that. No, you stop that. Now get back to your, you know, and it's all negative. And you love that little child, but there's very little hugging and loving. It started out that way, but it changes. Now you notice another thing about little kids. When another little kid shows up in the family, the first little kid is confused. And he notices that the little kid, the new one, gets all the attention from mom. And that bothers him or her. Because they notice that little kid's done nothing but squeal and squawk and poop and, you know, didn't do anything right. But that little kid's getting all the attention. I'm doing everything right. I went to the potty today. I, you know, put on my own pants and so on. My mother's not even paying attention to me. And they get mad. And one of the ways they respond often is stick their thumb in their mouth and revert back to childhood in order to get attention again. And they start talking baby talk. And they start getting sick. And they'll just do a million things to try to figure out, now what is it that mom likes? Because I used to be the king of the roost. I mean, I was top. Center of attention. What happened? I don't recall when I made a change. You know, so a little kid will figure that out. And he'll watch that other little kid getting all the attention. And he'll devise things like go into the crib maybe and lean over. Instead of kissing, you might want to hit. If you're not watching, the older child, sometimes they just grab their little cheeks and just shake them. You know. You know, and that, it's not that they don't love the little child, it's that they don't love that little child. That's all. Because they see the threat. They see the, you know, the insecurity. They used to have mom's whole attention, and they were so important and so loved and so undisciplined, and now they grew up, accepted the spankings, behaving themselves, and there's no reward. I'll tell you, that is a bad deal for a newborn Christian. To find out, when you actually behave yourself, you get in trouble. Anybody learn that? You know, I mean, it was like better off when I was a pagan. Then God loved me unconditionally. Now that I'm a Christian, I'm trying to behave myself. I'm just getting the hell beat out of me. Anybody notice that? it just occurs to somebody to say, what's the point? You know, I think I'd rather go back and suck my thumb and try to get some love again, unconditional. I'm tired of trying to read my Bible every day, go to church all the time, get a hold of it. I'm working way too hard. So a lot of believers don't like growing up. Because it doesn't make sense. It's not at all what I thought it was going to be. I like the way it began. It was a good beginning. It started out okay. God loved me unconditionally. Jesus died for me. I like that part. But, as you all know, somewhere in there, in a sneaky kind of way, God wants you to do stuff. But you can't exactly figure it out. Because if you do it in the flesh, that's wrong. And if you just sit down and do nothing, that's wrong. So you got to try to figure out, now, how am I supposed to be doing it so that it's not me, but it's Him? And I wait on Him, and He doesn't come through, so then it's me saying it's Him, when it's actually me. But if it's me, then it's legalistic, so I might as well not do it. But if I don't do it, will He do it? No, He doesn't do it. You know, and you just get all mixed up. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It's real hard to figure the guy out. So, there's good news for you today. It's not a secret. It's something you can understand readily. It's exactly the same way that we raise children. Exactly. And if you neglect to raise your children with discipline, they won't grow up to be mature. They'll grow up, but they'll grow up to be immature. They won't be able to adapt to all situations. They'll sink down to whatever level they think they can function at. They won't necessarily achieve to be like you or Jesus. Now, what is the goal of life? Seven is the goal of every Christian here. The Bible says, every man mature in Christ. So, as a pastor, it's my burden, my call, my office, my purpose, is not to lose any. Is not to lose even one member. But that's tough. It'd be better if they do it on a bell-shaped curve where you could get the kind of middle group and then lose the other two ends. But Jesus said, I lost not one. So a little higher standard there, because people are willful. How many know that if you have a family of more than two or three kids, they're not the same. One child will be this way, another child will be different. Boys will be this way, girls will be this way. You can't figure it. Each child is unique, same in the church. So you have individuals, some who say, I'll do it, and then they don't. Others who say, I don't want to do that, then they do. You just can't figure it. So what makes a mature Christian? How do you get there? 5, 6, 7. How do you get there? So I'm going to show you today the whole story. How the gospel works. How God reveals Himself. God reveals Himself in three ways. Those three ways are all love. Love, love, love. Or I could say, holy, holy, holy. Or I could say, holy, merciful, mighty. Or I could say, and I could go on and on and on. So, however it is, there's always three. They're always in order, and they're always the same. In other words, the way to approach God is never through two. God doesn't want anyone of us to approach Him through the law. So maybe you're thinking about yourself and you're thinking, well, I tried to do the law, and I did a little bit of it, but then I got distracted and I didn't do the rest. I know I could do it, I just didn't do it, so I'm bad. Now that's one conclusion you can make. Another conclusion is, I can't do it at all. Another conclusion is, I did it. So there's a lot of options there on number two. The correct one is the middle one. Anything that God has ever told you to do, you can't do it. and never gave a law that anyone could keep. I'll repeat that because terrific confusion on this, and I'll save you a lot of psychiatry bills. Nobody has ever kept the law of God perfectly. The Bible says, no, not one. No, not one. Say it. No, not one.
No, not one.
That's pretty interesting, because if you get that down, it sets you free. If no, not one, then you're not going to be one. If nobody ever did it, you're not going to be the first one that did it. Now, there was one that did it, but not a man. It was Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, who was also the Son of God. And it's the Son of God part of it that made him able. And insofar as you become a son of God, you can do it too, but in the same way he did. Because I just told you, he said, don't call me good. I didn't do it. The Father who dwells in me doeth it. So you can't do it either, but the Holy Spirit that's in you can will it and do it. But you can't will it and do it. You'll never want to do the will of God. You will never want to do the will of God. You will never want to do the will of God. Isn't that amazing? You say, well, if I get a new will, yes, but the new will is not you. It's actually Christ in you. The new will is not you've actually changed. Listen carefully. You didn't change. What happened was Jesus came into a relationship with you and he's living in you. The change then is not you. It's your relationship with God. You just got under God. That's all. You got into a relationship with God. But not through a two, through a three. And then you get the four. Anybody who gets the three gets the four. If you don't have a three, you can't get a four. If you don't get a four, you don't have the Holy Spirit. All you can do then is be born again. And you won't grow. Most churches are not growing their people. Now, how many know that the Bible says, until Christ be formed in you? That's 5, 6, 7. That's not 5. Everybody wants to play the game this way. Let's just get a 5 and stop. Let's just put the thumb in our mouth and be a Christian who goes to church and doesn't injure anybody on the way to church. And on the way out of church, doesn't injure anybody. Now that is not the will of God. See that? For this world, that's as high as this world can go. Well, I didn't kill anybody today. But you actually didn't love your neighbor. Not the way God desired it. You weren't really led of the Holy Spirit. It was just your own work. So, all the religions of India, Hinduism, Buddhism, Muslim, all those religions are just man at his best state. Sometimes the Hindus will have lights and flowers and little gods everywhere, you know, hundreds of them, thousands of them. And, you know, we went to, their temples are out in the open, so you can just look in. But there are people in there, you know, bowing and, you know, paying off Shiva. Shiva is the destroyer god, and you don't want him to get on your case. Because your babies will die, you'll get sick, and you'll be poor. So you got to pay him off. So there are people trying to get to God by two. How to pay off the gods. So you'd like to get to Krishna. He's kind of the sustainer guy. He's a little more helpful. See if we can get a little something from him. What's he want? You know? So you got to pay him off though. So only way to God, as far as this world knows, is number two. They don't know anything. There's no religion that knows anything about mercy. Forgiveness. There's no religion that teaches, not the Muslims, not the Hindus, not the Buddhists, no one. They don't teach that if you sin against God, it's forgiven. Not one of them teaches that. They teach, don't you dare sin. You make sure you pay up. You make sure you do what you're supposed to do. If it says 5 times a day, you got to pray 5 times a day. If it says face toward Mecca, you got to face toward Mecca. And they showed me when I went into a Muslim not just a mosque, I think they said it's the biggest mosque in the world. And it was huge. And when I got in there, all I wanted to do is collect some money. I thought they were going to ask me to pray for all the Muslims. I said, well, did you want me to pray for everybody? No, make a contribution, you know, like prayer. No, money. Oh, money. For what? For the orphans. Ah, for orphans. That's a great idea. So he thought he was going to get some money. I said, well, that's a wonderful idea. Now, you mean actually give you some money and you're going to take it to the priest after this? I'm going to give it to you? And it's going to go to the children? Yes! Needless to say, we'd already paid the guy for his little tour thing, and I didn't give him anything more. Needless to say, he was extremely angry. All of a sudden, his religion went out the window, and he became angry. Wasn't that funny? Don't you think that's funny? When religion boils down to what it really is all about, money, sex, ego, power, very much this world. So what I'm trying to point out is number two has never been the will of God. God has never wanted anyone to keep the law. Jesus Christ kept the law. He doesn't want anyone else to keep it. He wants everyone else to relax and take a gift. Jesus is the only one that bore a burden. Now what you may do as you grow up from 5, 6, and 7 is you may voluntarily want to serve Jesus. For example, as a parent, it's not good for you to be sucking your thumb. Because a parent is responsible for a child. So number 7, not number 6, number 7 can actually handle number 5s and number 6s. But a teenager, number 6, cannot really raise children. Now they can babysit for a little while, but they can't really mature. Right? When your child's about 11, 12, 13, they could start to babysit for a short period of time. But if you wait too long, they'll start dancing, playing music, eating pizzas. Pretty soon the little kid will be lost somewhere in the house. Because kids just aren't disciplined. They start out right, but they peter out pretty quick. Because they have their own interests and somebody calls them on the phone. And so parents have that ability to endure a long time. That's what a parent's all about. It's hard work. It's hard work being a pastor. It's hard work being a parent. It's hard work being a leader. Why? Because you have to bear burdens and you don't get any benefits. When you're a leader, you get no benefits. As a matter of fact, that's what makes you a leader, is you forego all benefits. You postpone them. Maybe they'll come later, but for the first 20 or 30 years when you have a child, you're going to be stuck raising that child. You have to get up in the middle of the night, you have to feed them, you have to take them to the hospital, you just have to really take care of them. And even after they become 16, you still can't just let them go off. Of course, they will. But you still care, and so you pray it, or you drive them behind their vehicle so they can't see you. But what I'm trying to tell you is that actually as you grow in the Lord, I like being a pastor. I like going to India and getting sick. I don't care. And it's not like I feel bad about it. That's the price I paid. It's okay. Because I'm a volunteer. I'm volunteering. I don't get paid anything more. I had to pay out my own money to give to all those pastors over there and all those people. I didn't get paid. I paid. You see what I'm saying? So it's really not all that fun because it's not like America where you might go somewhere, give a teaching, and they might give you something back. Over there, you're doing all the giving. They're doing all the taking. And I want it that way. I don't want them to give me anything. I refuse to take it. Because the more you're like Christ, the more you want all the burdens and everyone else to get all the blessings. Now you say, how does that happen? How does anyone ever get to that point? Well, before I show you the secret, 5, 6, and 7, I've got to show you 2, 3, and 4. Because 2 is not the way to approach God. Never approach God through the law. Notice that the response of 5 to a 2 is what word?
Repent.
Repent, not obey. There's a big difference between repenting and obeying. God says, don't eat of the tree. Now, obedience would be not to eat of the tree. But he doesn't just mean outwardly don't eat, but inwardly don't eat. Spirit of the law as well as the letter of the law. But how many know that what we need to do is repent, not obey? Because we can't obey, we won't obey, we never obey, we always disobey. So the more you mature in the Lord, the more you realize I can't do two. If two is what God requires, I'm finished. So you repent and you just simply say, God, you got me. My flesh just won't cooperate. I try to clean it up. I've gone to church. I've gone to Pastor Jim's Bible studies. I've done my best. I've read my Bible. I've prayed. I've fasted. But you know what? This thing's getting to me. So you just don't get a reward. I mean, notice that. Besides, even when you did what you did, it was all legalistic. Wasn't born of the Spirit at all. And at first you said it was. But after a while you begin to realize it wasn't, because you're getting mad. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Peggy will sometimes, just picking on her for fun, but sometimes she'll cook something for me and make something. I'm kind of surprised, you know, praise God. And but then I'll say something about this toast. Peggy, this burned. And that'll just make her mad. I was just stating the facts, and she took it personal. I was just saying, the toast is burnt. Well, eat it then yourself. You know, she'll just come off with a kind of a negative response to me. I'm just making a fact as a good observant husband. Mother, the beans are burnt too. Well, eat those too, or don't eat anything. Cook it yourself. You know, because she's taking it personally, I was just making a factual statement. I thought it was a good statement. Guys are totally ignorant of women. They don't think alike at all. Because I didn't mean anything by that. I'm just making a comment. This toast is burned. You know, I mean, to me that was a perfectly legitimate thing to say. But I found out that's not a smart thing to say. Because she'll start throwing stuff across the table, and you know, and I'm, what's going on? You see? So you got to know how to approach God. Does God want you to keep the law? You see, a rebuke is not rejection. If I were to rebuke you, that is a 5 heading for a 6, so that you grew up, you might take it as rejection. You see, he doesn't like me. He's always picking on me. He's always using me as his example. I guess he hates me. Well, no, that's not true. I probably like you. If I pick on you, I probably like you. Peggy hadn't quite got that down, but I do pick on her a lot, but I like her. If I love somebody, I tell them the truth. If I don't like you that well, I'll just lie to you and say what you want to hear. You hear what I'm saying? God's the same way. You see, he reserves certain things only for his disciples. He said, you know, it's not for everybody to hear what I'm about to say. And he could speak directly to them without a parable. But with everybody else, he told a parable. It was humans. There was a man who had 2 sons and so on. The birds of the field, so on. He would just tell stories that you didn't quite know what it meant, but you figured kind of it probably meant something to you. And the story was real interesting, but you had a suspicion that it was referring to you. So you didn't know if you should laugh or not. You know, like the time he told about the garment, and somebody was patching it. New patch on an old garment, and he sewed the patch on it, and then when they went to wash the garment, it ripped apart. That's funny. No, that wasn't funny. See, but Jesus deliberately told a funny story. Then he had another one. Sometimes people put new wine in an old wineskin, and that old wineskin is stiff. It used to be kind of soft and pliable the first time he put something in it, but it's stiff. Some of you could identify with this. You have that stiffness to you. You just got a stiff. And you pour a little wine in you, you should kind of like liven up. See? But it won't. It just won't. It's got that Presbyterian stiffness. So you need to break down and go wherever the Spirit goes. Because the Spirit wants you happy all the time. Right? So new wine can be poured into a church and ruin it. Because the church isn't ready for that new wine. I do that all the time. I teach things that people probably don't want to hear. But Thank God for y'all. There's always an abusive few that want to hear the truth, because the truth alone will set you free. Now, I'm just going to tell you something. When you spoil a child, which most ministries do today, and they don't take you anywhere except 5, try to go directly to 7, skip over 6, you'll never grow up. The reason they do that is because they may teach 3, but they still believe in 2. The fear of the faith teachers and the Bible churches and others is really that God is a 2. They teach grace, but they live legalism. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because I'm able to illustrate fully what I'm talking about. Anyway, all I'm trying to say is, if you really love your people, don't let them get away with murder. Don't let them stay forever babies. Don't let them go back to sucking their thumb. But teach them the truth so they can grow up. They may hate you, but that's part of being a parent. Part of being a parent is I allow people to hate me, misunderstand me, and then later come back and say, thank you. But that could be 10 years. It doesn't matter. Truth is truth. And sooner or later, if it's truth, people will come back to it. Always do. So, if you judge with appearance, you'll try to people please. But I can't do it. I won't do it. I don't believe in it. I believe it's better to have no members at all and have people hate you and misunderstand you, reject you and crucify you, than it is to have a huge church where everybody is shallow and stays 5. I just believe when Jesus comes back again, he's going to say, where's my bride without spot or wrinkle? I see a whore here with spots and wrinkles, and I believe he's going to ask me that question. And it's not easy. It would be easier if I'd go the other way, but I can't. I want every one of you to be spotless. You know, if you get a spot out of a dress, it takes a lot of bleach or rubbing or something to get that spot out. I mean, even when you think you're getting it out, it's kind of in there. And you got to have something really strong. And people just don't like to be rubbed strong. You know, when I was on the plane, you know how the plane will bump. And I was eating yogurt. But it's real soupy yogurt. Our kind of yogurt, sticky. But this was soupy. And when I opened it up, I didn't realize it was soupy, but the plane jumped like this, and bloop, it went, you know, all the way down, like, you know, and I looked pink. And it was on my nice sweater, and I was really mad. But there's not a lot you can do to keep eating. So I drank the rest of my yogurt. And then, you know, I got as many napkins as possible and started blotting on it. Of course, that goes right through to your shirt. So it's just one incident after another. You all had that? It's hard to get spots out. That's my whole point. And wrinkles? Oh, my gosh. You have to apply pressure and heat. How many know that people don't like pressure and heat? But that's what it takes to grow people up. It's not easy. You can't just do it in a few seconds. We don't have any quick way to get you through. So the other churches are teaching a different gospel. And I'm not picking on them. I'm just illustrating. It's interesting. I'm just showing you why I'm not going to do like they do. Is because I don't think they're going to get to 7. They're going to skip over 6. They'll never make it to 7. The problem with marriages is you got to have a strong 6 to get to it. If people marry under a 5, they ain't going to make it. Because sooner or later, there's going to be something come up. So when people are first married, it's easy to say, hey, praise the Lord, hallelujah, yeah, just get married, this thing is great, heaven on earth. But in a little while, there are divisions over children, over sex, over money, over church, over in-laws, over everything. And people, after a number of years, they get, sometimes a number of months, they get mad. And they say things to one another, so on there, it's hard to retrieve them. Once you've said them, it's hard to retrieve them. You know, Peggy will say stuff. I don't ever count it. I always tell her that. I'm not going to count that. I have a feeling you're just really mad right now in the flesh. I have a feeling what you wanted to say was, I loved you, Jim. You're the best husband in the world. But you just didn't know how to say it. And she just, you know, I'm helping her out. She's so ticked off, you can't talk to her. Peg, look over here. I'm gift of God, Jim. She doesn't see the humor. I don't know. Women don't have the same humor, I guess, as men do. Right? Seems to be kind of humorous. But I don't ever count what she says or what she looks like. I look at her sometimes and say, Peg, you look miserable. Isn't it exciting to be married to me? Fine. Oh, no, not fine. I mean, it's a thrill, isn't it? Such a liar, Jim. You know, and she'll just start spouting stuff out and just, you know, I can just kind of like go and push the button and it'll just kind of flood right out. I can always, you know, instead of turning on the TV, just go over and press one of her buttons. All this stuff comes out. And it'll entertain you for hours. But I don't take anything personally. I don't take, you know why I don't? You know why I don't? Can you guess why I don't? Because Jesus Christ has already told me He loves me. I mean, it doesn't matter what Peggy thinks. Jesus likes me. She's wrong. He knows more than she knows, and He still likes me. She only knows half of it. And I can tell that when she's criticizing me. Man, I'm thinking of all the things I'm getting away with, and she's thinking of what terrible thing I just did, and I'm thinking, wow, that's all you know about it? No problem. you haven't even a clue as to what I was really thinking and doing. And so I'm pleased to get off with, you know, whatever it is she said. Okay, so what do you want me to do? Nothing. You want me to change? No. Well, what do you want? Has nothing to do with you. Oh. Oh, I thought it did. Oh, is it Jesus has done wrong again? No. It's me. Oh, you're mad at you? Are you mad at your flesh? I don't know. Well, is your spirit mad? I don't have one. Well, how do you know? I don't. I don't know anything. Aren't people funny? Aren't people funny? They don't even know what they're talking about. I think it's funny. I mean, I think it's funny. Because I have an understanding of God. You know what? Number three is actually the heart of God. God never intended for two to be his heart. That was just simply saying no to a child was simply just his way to grow him up so he could give him number three. He would tell him what to do so that when he didn't do it, he'd say he's sorry and repent so he could give him a free gift. You know, when Peggy does wrong, all I want her to say is, I did wrong, but she won't say it. Peg, just say you did wrong. I did. I might have, a little, but I not like you. So, all I want you to say is you did wrong. I don't care if you change. Just admit you're no good. Put yourself on my level. But don't you know that we're all equal? Don't you understand that we're all equal? This is why there will never be a divorce from my side. Because I don't see any differences between people. I think all people are the same. Nice people are nasty and nasty people are nice. At least nasty people are letting you know where they stand. Nice people are lying. So what's the difference between nasty and nice? I'll tell you what, you get a nice person in a certain corner, they come out nasty. And you get a nasty person in a certain situation, they'll come out nice. You just can't figure it. You see, we're all alike. That's why I know number two is a real equalizer. No, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I don't even try. Now, a lot of people do try. I never even tried to please God. I never think I could have pleased Him, but I didn't. I not only couldn't have, I didn't want to, I didn't do it, I won't do it, I'll never do it. You know why? Because my flesh will never please God. So if it's my spirit, I already do please God. My spirit's always pleasing God. I'm just like Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? I always do what is pleasing to my Father. Can you say that? Yes, you can, in the spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's in you and willing to do it. So you can actually say it. Even though you don't see it, you might not see it for a month or a year. It doesn't make any difference. In the Lord, there is no time. So you can say right now, you know what? The Father loves me totally. And I know I'll work this thing all out. It'll all be fine. Because He's in me too willing to do. I didn't put any pressure on myself. You see how much pressure I put on myself? Zero. Because I already knew from number two I couldn't do anything. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
I'm going to say it again because I want you to get this down. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Now, in Him, I can do all things. But now the do is a totally different kind of do because it's through Him, in Him, with Him. The Him is the key. Beholding Him, we are changed. Not we change. You can't change. The flesh never changes. Flesh is flesh. Spirit is spirit. The only question then is, do you have the Spirit? Now, if you have a number two, you'll never get the Spirit. But if you admit, I don't have any Spirit. I don't have any holy in me. I need God to forgive me through a three. Then I could do a two. But He doesn't want you to do a two because that's already been paid for. So in this world, you'll never do a two. You'll never do a two in this world. Do you realize that? You will never do the law of God in this world. There'll always be sin. Everything that you do, even when you do something that you know it's born of the Holy Spirit, there'll be sin in it. Even when you're at your best, there'll be sin in it. Is everybody aware of that? So stop criticizing other people. And when I say this, I don't mean you're going to. But you ought not. Stop criticizing other people. Why? Because you're no different. We're all the same. So what God is showing us is love. 1, 2, 3. First of all, He declares His holiness. Second of all, He declares His mercy. Or provides us with His mercy. The third thing is, He appoints for us leaders, officers, pastors, parents. Someone who takes number two, reads it through number three so that two doesn't hurt me. See, here's how you know if you got a two, you'll be condemned. But for anyone who's in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. That's why I know I'm in Christ Jesus, because I've done everything to condemn myself. But I don't have any condemnation. I know I deserve it. But it's just for my behavior. It's just for my action. It's not for me. See, two kills my flesh, but it doesn't kill me. It kills my actions, but it doesn't kill me. I can't imagine one action I've ever done that was any good. Every action I think I've ever done, I'm sure of it. It's always for my selfish purpose. It was always to get ahead. It was always to take care of me. Anybody else have a flesh like that? Yes, everybody does. All of sin. Everybody's selfish. Everybody is selfish. Now to me, that is such good news. Number two is good news. Because of three. Three makes two into good news. So I always look at two as helping me. Because it relieves me of pretending like I have to be good. I just tell them right off, God, you know, I can't love my wife. I don't love the church. I don't love anybody. I don't even love myself. I don't love you. If I had my way, I'd put you under me too. Many times I've told you, you know, let me take over for an hour or two. I'd love to run the world my way. How many have a flesh like that? No, I'm not afraid to say that. A lot of people wouldn't say it because they're afraid of number two guy get you. He won't get you. You're thinking it anyway. Everybody thinks they could rule the world. Everybody in this room, whether you know it or not, you're so arrogant, you're so powerful, that you think, I know what I'm talking about. And you wake up every morning thinking, I wish I could just get my way today. I wish my husband listened to me. I wish the animals would do what I say. I'm telling you. And you just wake up with this brilliance to you that is completely fallacious. Because you're not neat. You're a Christ killer. The only thing you could do is kill Jesus. All your deeds end up in the same boat. Whenever you do. That's why he's going to say on the last day, depart from me, you evildoer, I never knew you. Because the issue for God is not what you did, it's whether you knew it. It's not performance, it's relationship. You know, without faith, you can't please God. So all of my deeds are not done to please God. They're done because he's pleased with me. Since he's pleased with me, I do it because I'm not even thinking about it. I mean, my left hand doesn't even know what my right hand's doing. I end up being a good husband when I don't try. I mean, I can't imagine how it happens. It's like a miracle. I end up being a good pastor when I'm not trying. I'm not thinking of being a good pastor. I'm just doing whatever I'm doing. But you know what I'm doing? I like Jesus so much, I keep spending a lot of time with him. I find I'm talking like him and walking like him and acting like him. And all my selfish stuff kind of goes out the window. I don't even know where it went. I have the same flesh as everybody else. But the more time I spend with Jesus, it seems like it doesn't come up. Y'all, experience that. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more time you're in praise, the more time you're worshiping God, the more time you're spending in his word, the more time you're following his spirit, it just seems like you learn obedience through what you suffer. It just seems like, you know, when you're suffering, you're not sinning. That's why six is so important. Have you ever gone through a hellish situation? I mean, a difficult situation where someone you loved and cared for, they were in trouble, or maybe you were. And it's just hell. And you're trying to get God to do something. And he don't do. You ever notice that? He just won't come through. And it's just like he's like the black slave in the plantation. Leroy! Yes, how's it coming? And they just kind of shuffle. Instead of hurrying over, I wanted that slave boy to get the flies out of the room or whatever. And he's just shuffling, yes. And they deliberately go slow like that because they don't like being slaves. And they're just letting you know, now I'm obeying, but I'm doing it my own way. And they say, so they're talking slow and they're, you know, see, they're clever. They're not stupid like you think. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're all like. We have little tricks like that. Now, in John, we read that Jesus never did his own account. He never took care of himself. He never bothered about himself. And when I went to India, I told the pastors there, just abuse me, use me. Don't feed me and take care of me. Just use me. That's why I'm here. I don't want to see the Taj Mahal. I don't want to eat your food, get your bugs. All I want to do is use me because I got things to share from God and do it. But they're reluctant because they figure you're, you know, from America and so on. But I just tell them, you're not doing it right. You're just using me a little bit. Use me a lot. I'm here. I'm at your disposal. I'm your slave, your servant. I'm not the master. You're not used to that. But that's a powerful thing. And Peggy can tell you on the last teaching that I gave, I knelt down in front of the pastor. He's only in his 30s. I knelt down in front of him. I told him, though I'm 65, though I go all over the world, this and that and so on and so forth, yet when I come here, I bow down and I serve your pastor. I don't intrude myself. I serve. That's all I'm here for. I'm not here to get money. I'm not here to get anything. I'm just here to serve. That's powerful. And, you know, I believe the church in India was affected, was changed. I know what we said to them. And I believe what we said will go deep. I'm telling you what I said to them. This is what I taught. No, I didn't teach it this way. But I taught about growing up, about your character. How many of you know you have a spirit? That's five. You also have a soul. That's six. You also have a body. That's seven. In order to get your spirit right, all you have to do is believe. Your spirit is perfect, just like that. Immediately. You're in the family. You're loved of God. God loves you. You love God. It's over in your spirit. But how many know that that's not in your soul? There's a difference. How many know that the Bible divides between spirit and soul? Most of Christianity is soulish. Very little of what's going on today in the churches is spiritual. I'm not being mad or critical. I'm just describing. I mean, it's kind of like with Peggy. Toast is burned. That's all I'm saying. So don't take it personally. I'm not mad at anybody. In fact, I'll try to help you. But I'm just pointing something out, is that the church is full of soulishness because nobody wants to go through six and suffer. So you end up being soulish. Whereas the goal of number six is, not my will but thine be done. Joyce, all that Jesus wants you to say, I know you believe in him, that's in your spirit. But he wants you to give your soul to him to say, you know what, my soul, myself, I give it to you, I crucify my flesh. I take up my cross daily. I give you my soul, not my will, thine be done. That's powerful. I mean, no, that's not easy. That's not easy for a teenager to say. Mom, I'm going to do what you told me. That's not easy for a teenager. They're rebellious. They don't want to be brought under. They have their own ideas. Man, I can hardly wait to get free from you. But you see, I always told Margaret, our last one, Margaret, now that you're, 21 and free, now you should voluntarily want to be around me a lot. I mean, you don't have to, but I am really a neat person to be with. Mom and I are great. Do you want to go out with your friends tonight or stay home with Mom and me? And I don't know why, she just seldom chooses us. But the truth is, she could benefit a lot because now it's adult to adult. She was surprised. I remember she cried on her 21st birthday when I told her, okay, all the rules I've given you, they're off. You marry whoever you want to marry. I don't care who he is. I don't care what he looks like. It's your business from now on. I'll back you up. She started crying. She thought, I was going to hold her to some standard. Then when she didn't want to come to the church here, she said, Dad, I want to go to other churches. I think that's great. If that's what you want to do, go. I said, well, I know you're the best teacher in the world, but I want a boy. He doesn't want teaching. He just wants to find a husband. So, pretty crude, but I like Margaret. She's bottom line. So, get right to the bottom. So, you want to go to McKinney, and then you want to go to, what's the big one out, Fellowship, out there by the airport, and then I don't know where she's going. She's going to all the neatest places where there's about 5,000 guys, I guess. Because she says, the boys in our church are, they're flaky. That's what she says. They're flaky. Dad.
He's also working
with the girls. Then girls. Yeah. Yeah, she is. She likes our church. But, I give her the freedom. Do what you want to do. I'm on your side. If that's what pleases you, do it. That's how you learn. And it's neat. It's neat to watch your children make mature decisions. But she went through the hell. She gave up her will. All the way through college, she had to pay for everything and so on and so forth. It's not that we couldn't. It's just that we didn't. Put all the weight on her. Why should I subsidize her sin? You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's that we could have paid for everything. I wanted to. I told Peggy, let's just pay off everything. Just help her. But we knew if she had a lot of free time, she would not be tending to school and she'd not be, but she had to work. And then she became proud. Dad, I don't need your help. She thought she was being independent, but actually it's exactly what I wanted. I don't want her dependent. I want her independent. She's strong. She's a great teacher. She's She's awesome. She has such wisdom and such control of her class. Total discipline in her class. Other teachers, older teachers, younger teachers, they can't control their classes. She has total control. She can take the rowdiest, awfulest kids, and she gets them too. But she can somehow wins them over until they fall in love with her because she's hard on them. She takes them through six. And, you know, at first they hate it. Sit down. You're not going to the bathroom. You know, whatever. And she just merciless, but it's not her heart. See, her heart is total love. And they pick that up after a while. And they work really hard to please her. This board, can I clean the board? Can I do, you know, they just think she's the greatest. And she does too. She says, Dad, I'm good. Good. So, it's good. It's good. She's, all of our children, we love them. My children cannot fail. Listen to what I'm saying, because I'm like God. There's nothing my children could ever do, nothing my wife could ever do, there's nothing you could ever do that would ever displease me. Did you hear what I just said? I've settled it ahead of time. When someone does me in, I don't care. Jesus will take care of it. So I don't need you to like me or be nice to me or whatever else. And if you tell on me or whatever, it's okay. I forgive you. If I go to jail someday and you don't visit me, it's okay. You don't have to visit me. But if you do, peanut butter is what I want. That's not really true. I don't have any needs because my God shall supply all my needs. Doesn't mean I don't have needs, but I don't have any needs that I would put a burden on someone else to complete. Now, if voluntarily the Lord tells you something, that's between you and the Lord. But I'll never expect, and I never do, anyone to do anything for me. When they do, it's always like a miracle. In fact, I try to talk people out of it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't give me that. Don't do that for me. Unless the Holy Spirit's forcing you. You feel that He's told you to do it. Because even though I like to do it, I don't put anybody else in the same category. I don't know if everybody is like me. I don't know. I like serving. I like being abused. I like being misunderstood. I like being hated. I like it. I'm serious. You can't imagine the joy I get out of that. Now, you know why? Because when you're rejected and hated and despised, you know what you do? Turn to Jesus. I don't need people. I don't need anyone to worship me or help me or whatever. I've got Jesus. And if somebody cuts me off, good. I can spend more time with Jesus. I'm never at a loss. Barbara, you can learn that. When there's nobody around you, you still got Jesus. Because He's the only one that really knows you, cares for you, watches over you, and prospers you. There's no needs. My God shall supply all my needs. I really believe that. Since I believe that, that's all I ever see. So if I would see the opposite, I just wouldn't count it. I discount it. Do you all have a discount department? I just won't count it. I'm going to take everything as a gift from the Almighty. Peggy is the best wife in the whole world for me. Perfect. You are the perfect church members. My children are the perfect children. So even if they do wrong, I don't count that. Because I do wrong and God doesn't count it. He still treats me as though I'm His beloved. Because two is not the entrance. Three is. I'm going through the blood. It's all a gift. If you fail at two, you get the three for free. If you don't fail at two, you'll never find the three. I know why a lot of people aren't Christians, because they're still doing two. I don't know why they're not Christians, because they still want to bear a burden. They want to pretend like they can do it. Okay, I'll wait till you're worn out. Because sooner or later, you'll wear out. You can't even do the smallest thing. How many are self-confident, full of confidence? It's good. Great way to start. This won't work. And a lot of times we'll get a divorce rather than grow up. Why? Because it's hard. It's It's hard to grow up. It's easier to say, my whole problem was over there. You know it's not. It's not. It's always me. So sooner or later, you have to still come back and face yourself. But don't be hard on yourself. That just is good. So what? You just learned that you couldn't do it too. That's all. So you get it free for free. I don't care how many mistakes you make. If that's how, what it takes, make a million of them. So you get it down that Jesus Christ does not want anything from you. He wants to give you something. Him. He doesn't want to give you a thing. He wants to give you himself. I have a love affair with Jesus. It's personal. I'm in love. I sing to him. I dance for him. I talk to him. I sing in tongues. I sing in English. I sing off key. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm in love. Are y'all in love?
Yes.
You see, love is what seven is. Everything you do is love. For example, worship, that's love to God. Edification, edifying one another, that's love to the brothers and sisters in church. Testimony, that's love to the world that's lost and dying. I'm testifying. Everything I do is an act of love. If it's born of me, it's not an act of love. It's fakery. But if it's born of the Holy Spirit, it's all love. I'll tell you, love is so powerful because God's love. That's God in me. That's not me. That's God in me. I expect my marriage to be a perfect marriage. I have a perfect marriage. But I expect it to be. I have a perfect church. I expect it to be. I have a perfect family. Everything is perfect for me. Of course, I'm blind. I can't see. And you know, I'm not paying attention to anything. But that's the way I look at it. I always give a good report. Because God said, don't worry about it, Jim. I'll take care of everything. I believe you. I believe that God never makes a mistake. Ever. I believe he knows the hairs on my head. He knows everything about everything about everything. And even though today I may not look like anything, that doesn't even interest me. I know what I look like. I know how to improve my looks. I don't want to. I don't want to go anywhere or do anything. Going to India, I could make a lot of hay out of that. A lot of things you can do to enhance yourself or something. I'm not interested in that. I have no idea why I went. I just know that Jesus told me to go. So I went. I didn't try to accomplish anything except whatever he told me to do. I can show you all my prayers. I know what he told me to do, and I did it. And I know it's powerful. And I believe I changed India. I believe that pastor, the last pastor that we were with, I believe I changed his life. And he has 40,000 members. So over 200 churches underneath him. So to change one man has a big, big impact. That's a big effect. And every month, they add another church or two. And so they're just, you know, they're taking over all of India. And it's exciting. But we're part of that. Just like we're part of what's going on in Africa, what's going on in China, what's going on in Russia, what's going on in Israel. I'm sure next year I'll be going to Israel. So I want to go to Israel a lot, and Africa a lot, and Russia a lot, and so on. I probably will never go back to India unless God makes me. But I don't really care where I go. It's just, I don't want to go there. God, I'll go anywhere, but not there. But, you know, it doesn't mean anything because I'm at his disposal. I don't have a will. You see, when you become a Christian, you don't make any other decisions. Once I accepted Jesus, he makes all my decisions. He decides whether Peggy's doing good or bad. He decides if I'm supposed to say this or that. He decides everything. Decisions. So what an easy way to live, where you never make a decision. I don't ever have to make any decisions. Jesus has made them all. They're all made in heaven. All I got to do is spend some time with him, figure out what heaven's talking about and doing that day. Just do that.
Is that what you mean about passive?
Passive? No. Passive means that on number five, she's talking about the word passive. That's a little child. Remember, a little child, young men, and mature fathers. Three stages. Everybody has three stages. A little child does not do anything. They're completely passive. Jesus does it all. What does a young man do? Well, he doesn't do anything either. Well, what does a mature father do? He doesn't do anything either. But the latter two are active, because in the case of my spirit, I didn't do anything. He just gave me a free spirit. But in the case of my will, on the second one, in my soul, I actually say these words: Father, not my will, but thine be done. See, on the other one, I just believe. But on this one, I actually do something, because I say, okay, I won't do what I want to do. I'll do what you want me to do. You want me to lay in bed? You want me to get up? You want me to watch television? You want me to eat toasted wheats? You know, whatever. I'll just do whatever God says. Now, then I have no life. I have no life of my own. I never do what's pleasing to myself. Now, if I do, it's a sin. So, immediately the Holy Spirit will convict me through number two. And I'll again repent. And then I'll believe, number three, that He's forgiven me. I can always run back to my little child sucking thumb stage. How many know that when you're following His example and it gets too rough, you can just always run back and lay down in Mom's lap? And, you know, you can always do it. You don't have to be a big deal. If it's getting too rough for you, just run back, sit in your dad's lap. Dad, I know I was going to conquer yesterday, but they mowed me down. So I'm all beat up. Could I come back in and sit in your lap for a while until I get well? Sure. So I was hoping you'd come here. Next time, don't run off without me. I was going to run off, you know, and serve Him, you know, like a fool. Have you ever done that? You ever run off and serve God on your own? Kind of? God was either way, way ahead or way, way behind. Wasn't where you were. And the enemy just swamps you. And you're thinking, wow, I'm a Christian. What happened? Well, you got a little ahead of Him or a little behind Him. Whatever. But you're not with Him. So I've learned, God, where are you? And He's always right there. He's just, Jim, the question is, where are you? Well, I'm right here. I'm bleeding. could you patch me up again? Have you ever made a promise to God? God, I'm going to be up at 6 o'clock every morning from now on. And I'm going to read at least 2 chapters. And I'm going to be through the Bible in 1 year. You ever made any kind of promises like that? Anything, you know, just where you're going to get really serious. I mean it. And this Christmas, I'm going to witness to all my relatives. So on and so on. You just make all these silly promises and you just can't do them. Aren't you like me? Because that was just in the flesh. Yeah. See, if it was really in the spirit, I might have done that. But it's just a flesh thing. Look cool. You know. It just came out of me in my natural hubris, my natural pride, to say something or other. God doesn't care. He condemns all that in number two. I don't care how much number two you do. There's only one proper response, not obedience. Repent. God, I'm sorry. It's all He wants to hear. Doesn't want to hear, I'll do better next time. Doesn't want to hear that. I feel bad. Doesn't want to hear that. Just, God, I did it. I did it. I did wrong. It's all He wants to hear. You know how much that pleases Him? Because then He says, it's okay, I'll cover it. Whoa. How many know that you have children, when they do wrong, and you cover it? Because they're not sure if you will or not. But when you do, they're so thankful for 5 minutes. They're so thankful. Really? Really, Dad? You'll take care of it? And it's great. I love you so much, Dad. It's a great moment with a child. Because often they don't need you. But every once in a while they get in trouble. Dave will come and say, Dad, can I borrow $1,300? $1,300, I'll say. That's a lot of money. Well, I know, but I've got it coming in. It just isn't here right now. Well, I don't know. That's a lot of money. We'll have to pray about that. But you can tell that's not my heart. I'll give him 50,000. I mean, it's not a number. Yeah. I'm just doing that to grow him up so he doesn't make a habit. So I'm just doing it to make him grow up. It's a 6. And I'll go, well, you really need it? Now, is it 13? You don't need 14 or 15 or 20 or what? You sure? No, Dad, that's it. That's it, Dad. Okay.
All right.
You got it. Come over to the house anytime. Well, that's neat. That's when we get close to each other, because right then he loves me a lot. Wants to be close to me. It's worth it. $1,500 is cheap.
That's right.
You see? But your children, it's personal relationship. It has nothing to do with performance. It has personal relationship. That's my son. That's my daughter. That's my wife.
Yep.
Right? You're my church. You're my, you know, part of the same bride. I will be so excited when we get to heaven and you're there. I'll be like, whoa, I'm kind of surprised. How'd you get in here? I thought you were a goner. You know, I'm just going to, and if God, you know, called me up front or something like that, are these all your people here? Yep. I won't be humble. I know I won't. I'm supposed to be, but I won't. I won't be humble. I'll look humble. I'll practice looking humble. I'll take this lowest seat, but I know I'm thinking, can I get the big one? Hello? All I'm trying to tell you is God's not going to judge me by a number two. He knows all the things I'm thinking and saying and doing. He doesn't care. He's still just a good God that loves me to pieces. And because I have that view, that pleases him. Keeping all his law doesn't please him. But loving him for giving me a gift and taking it and thanking him, that pleases him. Because God, after all, is the benefactor. Now, I'm going to close with this. What's a benefactor? Number one. What's a beneficiary? Number five. 5, 6, and 7, that's all beneficiary. All the benefit goes. Everything from the benefactor goes to the beneficiary. What's a trustee? That's number four. In a trust, the trustee takes the law of the trust, number two, puts it with the corpus of the trust, number three, which has to be adequate. And if it isn't, the trustee himself has to pay out of his own account. Otherwise, he's a bad trustee. So the trustee not only fills it up to what it originally was, but increases it so that he can give more to the beneficiary, take less for himself. That's a good trustee. So, a trustee is Jesus. A trustee is Paul. A trustee is you. A trustee is me. But to get there, 7, you have to go through 6. And this is why everyone quits. Everyone quits because they hate the discipline. They hate the suffering. They hate the affliction. They hate the learning. Because you only learn through suffering. How many here have learned something from God? You suffered. I guarantee you went through hell to get it. You did not learn it through the Bible. You didn't learn it through a sermon. You learn the words. But the way you learn the reality is through hell. I can always tell people that love God, I know they went through hell.
Yeah, that's right.
Anybody who has gone through hell, I know that person's teachable. Because when you suffer, you're no longer tempted to sin. Whenever things go well in my life, I sin. But when things go hard, man, I'm close to Jesus. Jesus. It's right here. This is me. Jim, I haven't seen you lately. Well, I've been golfing and having a good time. And, you know, but here I am right now. You know, and he's just pleased to have me there. He's not mad at me for just showing up so infrequently. He's just glad I'm there. Jim, you look a little desperate. I'm desperate. I mean, you didn't come out of a lot of virtue. No. I came because I'm scared. You know, I'm empty or I'm poor or something. And he knows, that's okay, Jim, that's what I'm for. I'm so glad you came. I don't care why you came. I'm just glad that you came. You see, a father is delighted to see his children,
yes,
to see his wife,
right,
to see church members. I mean, it's too exciting. When I get to heaven and I see those Indians, because we spent, you know, 2 weeks with them, it's going to be fun. You know, it's just kind of delightful when you see somebody that, you know, you got into their life, they got into your life. I mean, they go all out. They don't have anything, but they go all out. They'll do everything they can to give you, you know, bad water. But they're giving you the best they have. You know, they're in there washing that glass out with their thumb, you know. Yeah, forego that water. But to them, this is the best thing they know how to do. So they want to, you know, and if you eat your food, they'll give you more. So you have to learn, don't take it, but don't eat it. Just nibble a little bit on it and then leave it. Because then they think, okay, they're satisfied. But if they think you like it, they'll feel like they have to give more. And they'll just keep pouring it on. I mean, one night we had so much rice, I just can't tell you how much it, and that's got those little chilies in it from India. Yeah, a Mexican would be crying. Those chilies are hot. They put chilies into everything. And you eat something like chicken or something like that, Peggy can tell you, you start crying. It's great stuff. And it's hot. It's hot. And at first, you know, you eat the first bite, you don't feel it. But after the second or third bite, it's all over your mouth and your lips and everything. It's awful. But they're great. I mean, they just love you so much. And they want you to have all this stuff. They don't eat like this normally. But when they see you coming, they're going to... We had 13 people in our group, so they had to spend a lot of money. Of course, we paid them. But still, this is their... They have to do it. They have to show their best. They have to give you something. And you have to take it. You have to take it. So, it's fun. God is a giver. He's the benefactor. The trustee is never the benefactor. Your government, is it a benefactor or a trustee? It's important. Because the government today acts like it's a benefactor. But it's only an instrument of the people's own self-governing benefactions, which God gave them. God gave you life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, not the government. The government then just secures that as your slave. But today, the government's the master, and you're the slave, and you didn't even know it. And that's why today you're hurting, because you're not free, because nobody knows that you're the beneficiary. It's not like the government's the beneficiary. You're paying them. You're giving all your stuff to them. Isn't that interesting? You know why? Because you forgot God. If you had obeyed God, God would still take care of you. Seek first the kingdom, I'll give you everything else. So everything's all mixed up today. Pastors are hirelings today. Instead of being trustees, they're pretending like they're the benefactor and they're eating the sheep instead of feeding the sheep. How many know it's a little different? Especially if you're a sheep. I feel like you're not feeding me, I feel like you're eating me. You know, and people feel like they're being used or taken advantage, you know, raping, in many cases the pastors are doing that, or pedophilia, or greed, they're just collecting all the dough off these people, or ego, and it's just normal. It's just normal. I mean, it's almost like there are so few exceptions. When I meet a pastor, I just feel like they got another agenda. I don't have two agendas. I guarantee you, before God, I don't have two agendas. If you don't pay me, I'll still do it. I like what I'm doing. I'm not after anything. I don't want anything. I just love getting words from God, giving them to you. That's what you want. That's what God intended. That was number one, His original intention. He put out number two, which is the law. The law never changes. But the law, the spirit of the law, is different than the letter of the law. The letter of the law is two, but the spirit of the law is three. God always meant for you to fail on number two so He could give you number three. He always wanted you to fail. He never, ever expected flesh to do one law. But everybody's been taught these days, you got to do what He says. I don't know where you got that idea. You know, I guess from your child raising. But the truth is, God's not like a parent. He wants to retrain you. I'm not like that. I wasn't like that as a father. I'm not like that as a pastor. I don't believe that. I believe you get the best. I believe I take the garbage, the leftovers. Remember Paul said, we are like the refuse, the offscouring of the whole earth. That's a true apostle. Remember Peter said, I who am a fellow elder. He didn't say, I who am your pope. Peter, the first pope? No. He hated popes. He said, I don't believe we should lord it over the flock, but we should be examples to them, lowly, so that the people are exalted. So the only reason I exalt you, number five, is so I can beat you up, number six. So that you can reign with Christ, number seven. Because the spankings are only for a few moments. I mean, don't pull away. Take the spanking. Just go, Pastor, whatever it takes, I'm submitting to that because I know I'm loved. I know I'm unconditionally loved. No matter what, I know I can always run back to five. But I want to get all the sin out of my life. I got a lot of sin in my life. I want to get it all out so that I just do everything that pleases God so I can grow up and be a seven. Now listen. Jesus, who for the joy, seven, that was set before him, seven, endured, six, the cross, six, despising the shame. Great Christian. You see, Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered too. He didn't learn it just by being born of Mary. He learned it by going through the hell and the suffering of getting his soul so that he said, Father, it's not my will, but thine be done. You want me to drink this cup? I'll drink it. You want me to suffer and die on the cross? I'll take it. Whatever it is to help Barbara. Whatever it is to help, you know. And that's all he's saying. I'm not here for me. I'm not here to get something in my account. I'm here to help them. I'll empty my account out until they get it all. You realize that if I take, I lose. But if I lose, I win. If you lose your life, you find it. Anyone here that loses their life, six, finds it. Anyone who tries to keep your life, stay a five. You lose it. Because it's not he who begins, five. It's he who endures to the end. Well, this teaching is not interesting. It's powerful. I'm just telling you, everything is in it. I know everything is in it. The whole Bible is there. I don't care if you're inspired today. Write it down. Study it. It's too powerful. All my teaching is simple, but it's not. It's actually deep. I can guarantee you that I can do things with the Scripture that other people can't do. Why? Am I smarter? Am I better? No. It's just I'm more sinful, and I had to dig into the Word of God to find it out. There's no virtue in me at all. I don't have any virtue. I never had any virtue. But I'll tell you what, when you seek Him with all your heart, you shall surely find Him. And I've been seeking Him ever since I fell in love with Him. I've never changed. I'm still in love. To this hour, to this day, I'm still in love. I do worship God when I'm alone. I mean, not just in church. I worship Him. I love Him. Talk to Him. I prayed this morning. I'll show you my prayer. Every day I break. Every day I go through His holiness. That breaks my flesh. I go through His mercy. That resurrects me. Then I get His Holy Spirit. That ascends me. So I die with Him. I rise with Him. I reign with Him. I die with Him. I rise with Him. I reign with Him. I die with Him. I rise with Him. I reign with Him. I'm following after Christ. I'm continuing in the Word. I'm doing exactly as my Master. I have His image. Five. I want the likeness. Through six. 2-7. So that I'm actually acting like Him. I'm not only wanting to be a Christian, I am doing it. So that He comes back and He says, Barbara, well done. Not, well, I know you wanted to do it. That's just five. I mean six. He doesn't want you to want to. He wants you to do it. The Holy Spirit, this is not up to you. This is not up to you. This is not up to you. This is up to God. Just know what He wants. He doesn't want anyone to be a five. He doesn't want to have any little children when He comes back. What He wants is everyone to be a seven, to be just like Christ. That's why He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That, I don't know if I'm using the right word, scares me. It's not the right word, because I'm not scared. But it's like, that means something to me. Is I want the whole church to be like seven. I don't know how you get it. But I want to be there. And I am there. But I want to be there more. And every day you got to start again. Every day you got to start again. You don't have to start at five again. Five you've already got. That's your basement. But you got to build your house every day. Start all over again. Every day renew your mind. Every day not my will. Every day happy emotions. Every day. Every day I'm happy. I'm happy every single day. Because it's not just superficial. It's a deep happiness. Do you have that? a deep sense of well-being. If God be for me, who can be against me? See, that's just words for a lot of people. It's not for me. Maybe my testimony. It's not words for me. I don't care if I'm naive and other people are smarter than I am or what. That's the way I'm living. So that's my choice. And you don't want me to be your pastor if that's not where you want to be. You want to get someone else to do something else. But that to me, I'm literally taking, I fear God. I believe he wants all of us to be saved. So you, he will not make you do that. He only gave you five, but he won't force you to do six and seven. It's got to be up to you. You've got to say to him, God, I want to be like that. I want to be mature. I really do. I want the Holy Spirit to take over my soul. I don't want to have a soul, a self. I don't want to be myself anymore. I want to hate father, mother, husband, wife, brother, sister, children, my own life. I want to hate all that and follow after you. Take up my cross daily. That's what I want. I want to be burdened. Put the burden on me. Send me through the fire. Afflict me. I'm not afraid. I have no fear. I can take it all. I'll rejoice. I don't care what you send my way. I'll give a good report. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's hard. No, it's not hard. It's impossible. For the flesh. For the spirit? Peace came. For the spirit? Peace came. That's who you already are. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All his past away, the new is gone. If any man be in Christ, the new is gone. The old has passed away. So you're already there. You are a worshiper. You're not trying to be one. You are one. So all you have to say is, Lord, then not my will. Put me through the furnace. Take me through the furnace. Or if you're already through the furnace, then fill me. Lead me. Guide me. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. I'm ready. Okay, we're going to quit. See if we can have any questions or anyone commit today. Go all the way. Yes?
I really was convicted today about legalism. I really have been a legalistic person. Thank you. You revealed some things today that really convicted me on legalism.
Praise God. Well, if you get free from that, you're not under two anymore. That is totally free.
Thank you.
That's where everybody's messed up. Everybody's messed up. Who else? Yes.
He's talked a little bit about the saving of the soul.
About the what now?
But the saving of the soul.
Yes, the saving of the soul, which is six.
Right.
The saving of the spirit is five.
But what happens
if you don't save your soul?
Okay. If you don't, well, if you don't.
Right. Well, the first key to it is to know that you're supposed to. Don't worry about doing it, because you don't have to do it anyway. It's just beholding him will change. So it really had nothing to do with you doing it. It's not like, okay, I'll do it. It's not like that.
What I'm asking is, you're teaching us to behold Jesus this way.
Yes.
Okay. So what about people
that don't
have this
teaching? They'll be okay. They'll be fives. It's okay. They're just fives. And my problem is that since they don't know, they may or may not be judged by it. I don't know. I just... No, I will be, because I know about it. So all I know is I don't want to live like that, because I've actually lived like that, five, and had no six and seven. I lived like that for years, and I was excited about it. I didn't want to have a six or a seven. I loved being juvenile, because I had heaven, and then I could live like hell all the way there. And I knew he still loved me. But you know what? I found out later, that's not really the gospel. Well, what Jesus wants is not just to put his image in me, but his likeness. He wanted me to be like him. And I didn't think I could even do that. I didn't even know you could do that. Because churches don't teach that. They're not teaching discipleship. I hardly know a pastor that disciples. First of all, the pastors aren't discipled themselves. But second of all, they're not teaching their people to get all the sin out of their life. They don't think that's even possible. I know it is. I know you can be free from sin. I don't mean you won't sin. I just mean it won't rule over your life. You'll get angry. That's just a two. Immediately, oh, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. That's gone. I believe in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm forgiven. Now, you're okay again. You're back to five. But, as you're beholding him, because he's the guy that just forgave you. First of all, he exposed you that he forgave you. Two nice things. I want to be with him. I didn't make myself want to be with him. It's just he's the only guy that kind of likes me. He's the only guy that's on my side. He relieved me from two, and then he gave me three. And then he fills me with four. Man, that is that's a God to have. Buddha doesn't do that. Buddha leaves you under two. He's got you underneath two. And every religion in the world has got people under two. They don't have any mercy and any power. We have all the mercy and all the power, Nick.
I believe if you get stuck on the five, you will go through a lot more
than you. Yeah, I think so.
On the side of the...
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the Bible says the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. That's the problem. There's just few laborers. I mean, you see lots of people around you that are hurting. But what are you going to say to them? If you're a five, you can't say a lot. It's just like, well, get saved. You know, well, I tried that when I was four, whatever. And they don't see anything in your life to want to be any different. Or they think, well, I could never pray every day like you do. Whatever. So they just give up. That's why we have to have churches full of sixes and sevens, because that will convict fives. In other words, you don't want children to be raised by sixes or fives. Most pastors are fives. They're babies. They're little children. All they want is, you know, wealth and health and claim it and name it and don't suffer and everything's going your way and you'll be fine. I'm okay, you're okay. I mean, that kind of teaching is great for the flesh. How are you going to grow up? How are you going to grow up? That teaching doesn't work, by the way. You know?
Well, I have a problem with that, because if you're a five,
yes,
but you love the Lord,
yes,
you will dig in,
you will,
and find out,
absolutely,
who He is, and you will do.
Yes, you will.
And He said so many times, don't be hearers, do
right.
it,
right.
do it, do
exactly.
it. So I have a problem with those who are
right.
fives.
Right.
Are you sure they're saved?
I know I'm not. That's what I just say. I'm not going to judge because I don't know. I mean, it does occur to me that a bunch of them probably are, but I don't know. All I know is if I see one, I'm not going to let them stay in a five.
They just seem so complacent sometimes.
But it's okay. If they just don't know the love of God yet, keep teaching them love. I mean,
yeah,
if they're a five and they're still under two, and scared by two, then they need some more love. Give them some more love. You know, so I'm okay with that. That they're a five and they need to be a five.
Yeah.
That's where you are. Be one and get more love. Just be a baby. Be little. Just take it until you get so full that you go, I like to carry the dishes. You know, because a little kid, if he's really loved, he'll want to help you.
Now, another five that just wants love.
Yes.
Is that our job? I mean, even if they're just, you know, pulling at you, wanting it, you know.
Only a seven can do it. A six can't do it. And a seven is like an adult somehow, a mature father, a mature mother. They'll find you.
Do that for the five.
They'll find you. Because the harvest is ripe. It's just the laborers are few. We just don't have enough. But the biggest problem today is this is not being taught. And people don't even know that this is the case, that you're supposed to go from little child to young man to mature father. That, well, you should go from faith to willing to doing. That they're not even taught that. They don't know that there's several sides to Jesus. He's the Holy One, but He's also the Merciful One, but He's also the Powerful One.
And there are fives that are trying to be sevens without the six.
Oh, absolutely. I would say the most. I would say the majority.
Yeah.
And they're not going to make it. They're just going to have shipwreck of their faith. Look at Ken's mom. You know, his mom was sick when she died. Look at his father. He was sick. Look at his daughter now. She just got a divorce. This teaching isn't going to work. And I'm not mad at him. He's a Christian. So I'm not saying he's not a Christian. I'm just saying he's not going to give the kind of teaching that's going to help you to grow up. He's going to give the kind of teaching that'll keep you juvenile forever. And there's tons of ministries like this. The Bible churches are like it too.
Now the five,
yep,
the five that is trying to serve through two.
Right. Ooh. That's legal. That's an awful one. That's what she said she got free from. That's a tough one. Because you're just going to get hurt over and over again. You're going to get frustrated. And God's not even mad at you. He's just wanting you to see that you can't do it. So you'll say, I can't do it. And when the minute you do that, you even get mad at Him. He's happy. Because He's going, I never wanted you to do it anyway. You're my son. You're my daughter. Take a gift. I've just been waiting for you to say, too heavy.
Yeah, but they're real strong people.
They are. They're very strong.
Real proud people.
Thank God none of us are like that.
Well, that's why they don't go on, because if you can do it yourself, you will until you fall on your face.
You're exactly right. Exactly right. Let's have one more and we'll quit.
I really believe that at number five, people are still afraid to die. They'll do anything but to die.
Yeah, right. You're right.
Seven.
Yeah, you are right. You are right. Hey, but we're not mad at those people, because maybe they need to be there until they hear the love of God. Because I had a man last night say, I don't think I still know that God loves me unconditionally. And that's profound, because he's kind of a leader. And it's like, you know, he's admitting, you know what? I don't really think I know that God loves me unconditionally. Wow. You can't. No wonder you can't grow or build. You've got to know that you can't do two, so you get a three for free. You got to know that. That's all God wants you to learn. Well, if you learn that, apart from me, you can do nothing, but you can do all things through me. If you just learned those two lessons, you'd have it all. And the furnace is the most interesting. This is why Israel today is in the furnace. Israel's going through six. She's not being left as a five. She wanted to be a five. Like, leave us as little fives. This guy, no, you have to go through one more. No, not one more, please. No, you got to be hated one more time, be afflicted one more time, be slaughtered and destroyed until you say, we repent, we sin. Stop saying it was Adolf Hitler or whoever else. You know, those are just tools of God. People don't want me to say that because it sounds like God did it. No, God is just letting your sins come upon you. God doesn't send Adolf Hitler. It's just he knew that if you keep going the way you're going to go, you can't do it the wrong way. Follow my way. I gave you Jesus. Stop rejecting him. They don't want the three because they still think, the Jewish people still think, they're stubborn. We can do it. You never have. Has it occurred to you? You never will. And they're just thinking, we're going to get it. We're the chosen people. Yes, you are chosen. But you're not chosen to be a five. You're chosen to be a seven. But you got to go one more time. It's all in the Bible. It's actually said that Israel will go through seven times. She's gone through six. She's got one more time. The seventh time, she'll come. She'll be totally pure. When remember Naaman the leper? Remember Naaman the leper? He went down the water and he said, I hate this dirty water thing here. Okay, I'll do it. And he did it six times and he came up and said, this is stupid. And he got out of the water. And the little girl said to him, what are you doing? He said, well, you know, it's nothing. I got better rivers back home than this. This is a cesspool. Not doing it. Because it's not easy to be a six. And the little girl said to him, look, just do it one more time. No. Not going to waste my time. I don't believe it. Please, just do it one more time. You'll see. So he went back and did it one more time. Boom, he was clean. That's Israel. This last time, Israel's going to go through. She's going to be rejoicing in Jesus Christ as her Messiah. Now, when that happens, you'll know there's a God. Because that's not possible today. There's no way that Israel is going to accept Jesus as their Messiah. But Jesus said they will. It's the only nation on earth that has that. America doesn't have that. And as a nation, Israel is going to repent. Those Muslims aren't just out there. Those Muslims are tools used by God to afflict Israel in a furnace. She's going to get cooked up, burned up, until she finally says, and all she has to do is just say it one more time. Okay, it's all my own fault. It's our fault. And then, boom, it's over. As soon as you say it, it's over. It's over. He'll go, oh, stop. Did I hear you say Baruch Abba Hashem Adonai? And they go, yeah. I don't know, maybe we didn't mean it. Okay, turn it. No, okay, we mean it. And she's going to come. She's going to come. Because this is not your doing. It's God's doing. You can't go through six. God takes you through six. You can't make yourself a seven. He graduates you. I'll tell you, when all your sin is gone, when it's no longer ruling over you, you're a seven. You love to be a seven. All of you are sevens. You like being a seven. You like doing for others when it's not you, when it's Christ. It's fun to set people free. You saw that with your daughter. It's too fun. is that worth everything? It's too powerful. You were made to be mature. You were made to be a son of the living God. You were not made to be a father. Pathetic little child can barely make it. No, you were made to be an overcomer. That's a six. A six is all excited about, beating the devil. Boy, Lord, you should have been there. We had those demons run right and left, didn't we, Peter? Tell them. And they were excited. And he said, don't rejoice in that. You're rejoicing that you're not a five, now you're a six. And you've overcome the devil. That's not the ultimate. The ultimate is not overcoming the devil. See, a lot of churches do that. The ultimate is knowing the Father. Falling in love with the Father. Being a lover. That's the ultimate. Lovers always win. Are you a lover? Are you a lover? I mean, where that's your whole life. You don't need anything. You just got Jesus. Because that's all you have anyway. You can lose your husband. You can lose all your wealth. You can lose your looks. You can lose your health. You can lose everything in this world. But if you got Jesus, you don't lose anything. Yeah, most of you are going, well, I don't want you to test me out on that. He's not going to test you out beyond your strength. All he's saying is, that's where you want to get. That's where he's taking you, seven. You can learn it the first time. You don't have to go through the lesson over and over again. You can repeat third grade 50 times if you want. But, just go through third grade and get it done.
If you love him, you're going to go through it.
Yes.
There's
a difference between six suffering and seven suffering. Six suffering is inside my soul. Seven suffering is with my body from other people.
It's like you have to be able to say, okay, I deserve this humility.
Yes.
And say, okay, I deserve all this bad that comes into my life.
Right.
Okay, I deserve it.
Amen.
And when you say, I deserve it,
then
He loves you.
Absolutely.
It's
too powerful.
Awesome.
That is. Stop being strong. Be weak. Remember he said, I came not for the righteous, but for sinners. When you're weak, that's when he's strong. When you're weak, let number two weaken you. Then you get number three for free. Then you get number four as a bonus. And he's in you and willing to do it. It's all him. It's all him. Beholding him, we're changed. He does all the changing. You don't do anything. When you're all done, you don't get any credit. I made it to seven. Yeah, you screamed all the way through. Remember when you went to that fire? But that's okay. That's okay. You're just trusting him. Because you know what he say? I'll never leave you or forsake you. When we go through the fire, take my hand. I'll be with you. I will never leave you. I'm not sending you through the fire. I'm going through the fire with you. That's why we'll be able to join Israel in her hard day. That's why I go to Africa, India. Go where it's hard. It's hard. Now, Peggy did real well. She came off better than I did. I told her ahead of time, you don't want to go. It'd be awful. It's terrible. No toilet paper. No toilets. They use their hand. I mean, it's not a sanitary place. You don't want to go, Peggy. The food, they wash it in their water. Everything's dirty. Don't go. You don't want to eat anything. You can't go like me. I could go without food for weeks. She had a great time. Just munched everything. Drank all the poison and everything. She probably got parasites for her. She had a good time. She had a good time. We need some silver, colloidal silver. That's what we need. All right. God is good. Peggy, you want to say something? Yeah.
Because
if
you
riding on bumpy
buses,
and
it was hard on me, but
oh,
God, I can't do this, but you could do it. It was just amazing.
Amen. It's good. The team. Oh, we had a great team. Everybody on the team had to be there. So we had 13 people. It was really a lot of love, a lot of praise. I mean, it was really spiritual. Scott, he probably told you. It was great. Her son was. But it was wonderful. Such a blessing. Even if we didn't go to India, just to be a team, gone that long. Very, very rich. All right. God is good. See you next week. Let's close in prayer. Nick, would you close in prayer?
Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for how much you love us and for your grace and for your mercy and for all the abundance, Lord, that you put in our life. And Lord, we just want to tell you that we want to walk your ways and do your ways, Lord. We can't on our own, so we're going to trust you even more. So Lord, we just want to praise you and worship you in Jesus.
Love y'all. God's good.